Hey friends, you're tuning into Wisdom and Wellness with Wit, a podcast for your emotional, physical, mental, and spiritual well-being, a space to learn and grow, to be encouraged and maybe even challenged just a little bit. Let's journey together and explore what it means to experience the wholeness God has for each of our lives.
Well, welcome to Wisdom and Wellness with Wit. I am so excited. I'm here with my friend and just somebody that I so absolutely admire, Noemi Chavez. Thank you for being with me today.
Hello, hello. So glad to be with you.
Yes, yes. So you are like my first guest of this season. And I'm just so excited to get to talk to you a little bit. You know, I met you and your husband. I feel like it's been like at least 15 years, I think. It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. So Noemi is a pastor of their church, Revive Church, which is such a beautiful community. It's been a while as well, but I was able to come and lead with you guys a couple times. And then you're the co-founder of such an amazing ministry, Brave Global, which I've also been honored to get to kind of be a part of some of those events, which have just been so cool. So I just want to pick your brain a little bit. Like, where have you been seeing, what are believers needing right now in this season from pastoral leadership, from just leadership in general, as we've been navigating like such new territory and new space, it feels like, in the world?
Yeah, I think, there are so many needs. Leaders and people need each other. So I think that the important thing first to even observe is the fact that the church needs leaders, but the leaders also need the church. And an active discipleship, I think, is absolutely necessary. Mm. And I think it's a discipleship that goes both ways. I really believe that the church disciples you as well. The leaders you lead with disciple you as a leader as well. Because hard conversations shape us as leaders, and they shape our faith and our journey. So I think that we need each other. The church needs leaders, but leaders need the presence of leaders and the church for our growth as well.
Yeah, it's so good. Why do you think we're so afraid of having tough conversations, like the discipling conversations? Because, I mean, like, so, you know, as me as a worship leader, and I've been on staff at churches, it can be really scary to have certain conversations, because I remember my team members being like, okay, well, if I tell you things that are really going on in my life, is that mean it's going to not allow me to be in a leadership role or like being in service? It feels like we haven't found a good, you know, balance of like, I want you as you are, honestly, where you're struggling, but sorry, you can't, you know, be involved right now because of those struggles. It's a, you know,
I think that, one thing is for you to have a struggle. Another thing is for you to blatantly live in a relationship that is not honoring to the Savior. So, you know, that I think that the problem with our culture is that we are non-confrontable. So it's so important that we remain confrontable. Like, to this day, I'll ask the people that I lead with who are younger than I am. Some of them are in their 20s and 30s. And I'll be like, hey, do I sound a certain way to you? Does this sound bothersome to you? Because I want you to tell me if I said it in a way, or is there a tone behind it? Or what did I communicate?
Yeah.
Because I want to be able to have that not only self-awareness as a leader, but learn.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for the people who have stuck around long enough to see some growth in me. I mean, we've been pastoring.
Totally.
We've been pastoring for 16 years, and I am not the same person I was when I was 29 years old.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. And how would you say, like, you've developed the skill of like being able to have those confrontational conversations?
I read this book called Fierce Conversations years ago. I was in a cohort here in Long Beach with 30 leaders in the city from different churches. And this book on Fierce Conversations, really what it's doing is helping us understand the value of a confrontation is not that you win or that you end up higher up. The value of a conversation is that both people feel valued. And I think in our sense, because it's not a book of on faith, I think it's important that our Savior is acknowledged and is at the center of it. I think that helps us handle conversations, because Jesus takes very personally how we treat others on their journey with him.
So
I think it's important for us to be able to have conversations where I'm like, at the end of this, I want you to win. I want kingdom to win. And as a leader, I don't have to win. The kingdom wins and you win. So if I approach it from that posture, not from the posture of heartbreak or disappointment, not from the posture of frustration, not from the posture of like, I'm disillusioned with the outcomes of what you're doing. Like all of these things that then give like a, they give like a, like an atmosphere and a temper to our words. Mm-hmm. So I think as leaders, we need to find the safe spaces to have those hard conversations with friends who can give us some feedback, to then have great conversations, fierce conversations with the people we lead.
Yeah, that's really good. Because they can be super, for me, confrontation is like one of my biggest fears. Like, and I know you can't avoid it because it's just life, but I, like, if it's having a hard conversation or walking away, I will walk away.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, especially probably more so in like friendships and like relationships where I feel really, you know, hurt or whatever. But navigating those skills, that is an interesting skill set to be able to learn about, like speaking what it is that you're feeling while making sure the other person feels heard. I can imagine as like a female leader growing up, have you learned some of that because maybe you didn't necessarily feel heard when you were sharing in spaces, or you had amazing leaders that like showed you how to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've learned it because I've failed at it, you know, failed forward.
I've done
it well in some occasions, and then sometimes I've sucked at it. So whenever I've committed to the learning process, like, I'll be honest with you, I do not like confrontational conversations. My husband is excellent at those.
Is he?
Yeah, I, for a season, would feel sick when I knew I had to have a confrontational conversation.
But
because of how I felt, it caused me to lean into the Holy Spirit, into Jesus. And be like, okay, Lord, this is not a conversation that I want to have, but this is a conversation you're inviting me to have as a leader. So I'm going to ask you to lead this conversation and make sure I don't get in the way with my language or even my own, the aura of my feelings. Like, I want to get out of the way because this is ultimately not about me. It's about the person you're inviting me to lead in this season. Right. So there are times that I've not gotten it. And there are times that I could sense when I lean into God, okay, Lord, you're going to help me to have the words that are going to value this person's humanity, but also call them out to be like the best version of themselves, you know? Mm-hmm. But that's hard because we live in a culture that doesn't want to be confronted. We live in a culture where we want to be comfortable being who we are. And I think that when we live this way, we forget that the scripture says that we are temple of the Holy Spirit. And that our life is no longer our own. So I've given up the privilege to say, I don't want that, or I don't appreciate that. It's like, well, if it's aligned to scripture, I actually do want it, even if it's hard. So talk to me about it.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that requires so much like humility too, right? Because it is, we are, you're so right. It's like, I have to get out of my head all the time. Like, no, like, this is how I feel. And so, you know, I want to be validated for the way that I feel. But yes, absolutely. Maturity says, okay, you know, feelings are, you know, in the space that I'm in with chronic pain and actually realizing how much we repress feelings. Of course, feelings have valuable information, but we take them as like complete fact all the time. And you're right. Like, scripture is so clear on on and just being refining in our own way and learning how to handle those. So I love that, because I think having hard conversations, when I was on staff in leadership, I almost had a panic attack one time because I was like having conversation after conversation. I was like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And that's why leadership isn't for the faint of heart.
But listen, people, I think that when we are in those positions, we feel like we need to approach this like we are like the experts in this. And I've had to confront people in leadership and have hard conversations saying, I want you to know that I'm not an expert in this. And I'm like, I'm trying to hear God. And I'm trying to be the best version of that I can be for Jesus first and then for you. And so I'm sorry if I fumbled through this. It's because there's not a script for these moments. And so been very upfront and honest and be like, because at the end of the day, what matters to me is your life. It matters to me the condition of your soul. What matters to me is that I'm not, and here's the thing is that people will share vulnerable things about things that they struggle with. And so I think it's really important that as leaders, we're not walking around holding that against them or ignoring it, or ignoring their struggle. Because I would rather have Whitney on stage because she kills it. I don't care about your struggle because then I might have to deal with the brokenness in your life. I would rather not address brokenness in people's lives because your gift is really important in this setting, right? So then we're doing things that are not like Jesus, because then we're using people as a means to an end, right? Yes, and people matter more. People matter more to God than their gifting does. Yeah. So as a leader, I've got to be willing to have conversations where I'm like, I'm protecting you and I'm not just here to use you. You know, it's in a world of Christianity where sometimes production seems to be more important than the person. As leaders, we have to check our motives, constantly align to the Lord, not drift on our hearts from the presence of Jesus and what he's inviting us to do in the life of people. So there's so many elements here coming to play in our leadership.
Totally. It's so good. And I've had to check my heart too of offense, because when I felt used by leaders, I can turn it around too and then start to think so negatively of them. And then God's like, okay, I need you to check your heart now too. Cause it's like, okay, even though I feel not even wronged, but just like, you know, especially when you're in like a tough season, you're tired, you're exhausted, but it's like, you just keep having, obviously, you know, this as a lead pastor, you just have to keep pouring out. And so then it's just like, I just want someone to see me for me. And I feel like when I've had leaders in my life who have done that, and they're like, we want you here for you, like not your talent, not like we want you and we see you and we love you. It's like, oh my gosh. Then I'm like able to serve from such a different position. Cause then I'm not performing either.
Right.
Like, I don't think this worship set, I have to bring down a new revelation of glory that has never happened before. Right. Even though that's not my job anyways, but you know, like as leaders, we can like put so much of that responsibility.
Yeah. It's a lot of pressure.
It's so much pressure. I know. And then I'm thinking about everything other than worshiping God, right? I'm like, I better say the one key thing that's going to like get people to scream and clap. I go into my flesh and I'm not even doing the thing that God called me to do in that moment. So yeah,
That's good.
That could be, I think we all struggle in that for sure. But I know, you know, as a pastor, like, is there a space that you just feel especially just passionate about, like pastoring your people right now?
Yeah, I think in this season, I get to introduce a version of myself that's been developing in the last few years to my church. So in 2018, before the pandemic, I went through like this terrible burnout season in my life. And I had to get spiritual mentorship and coaching and therapy. And I reached out to people and I put some, I don't like the word boundaries. I actually put more disciplines, because it's not about what I don't get to do. It's about what I need to do. So
I
need to do is spend more time in the presence of Jesus. I need to rest and recalibrate. I need to commit to those things so that what I get to do is me coming in flowing, full of life, and not exhausted or drained, right? So I went through a process in the last couple of years, which was a great setup for the pandemic for me, because if I had been running as hard as I was running and I had ran into 2020 that way, I can't even tell you where I would be. I don't even know what the outcomes of my existence would have been. I feel like if God was like, I'm going to deal with you prior. So coming into 2020, I had some practices in place for my spiritual walk with the Lord that were so, that sustained me as a pastor and a leader in 2020, 2021. And I was really thrilled to, in 2023, introduce my church to some of the practices that I get to do. So right now I'm actually leading all of our female worship leaders, and not for any reason that I can't lead the males, because I do lead the guys, but I wanted to create a space just for the girls. So I'm walking with these women for about 2 months and meeting with them weekly and creating these spiritual practices for disciplines, for just soul healing and getting full of the presence of God. And so I'm passionate about that. Now, I'll tell you this. I'm not an expert. And I tell the girls, this is a cohort. This isn't a class, because we don't have to cover all the material, and I am not an expert. This is not a Bible study, because we're not going to go deep into all the theological. This is a cohort where we get to grow together. And so I am now in the place where I get to walk my church through some of these things. But here's one thing I'll tell leaders who are listening, or anybody at all. Like, one of the most important things for me has been to actually live through something and not create a sermon series about it the week after.
For sure.
Or begin a podcast or begin a podcast about it.
Yes.
Like, you know, this journey of wisdom and wellness did not start last week for you. So this for you has been a journey that now you have some authority, you've gained some strength in, and now you could share like out of the overflow what other people need from this space, right? So for me, I am not an expert on solitude or quiet or contemplative spaces by any means. Yeah. But these things are shaping my existence, my inner world, my heart. And so now in the last 2 years, I've started to walk small groups of my church through some of those spaces. Because I want them to be healthy first internally. And at whatever flows out of that now can impact their communities, their circles of influence, their world, their ministries.
Totally.
So, I am passionate about encouraging the church to spend time with the Lord outside of the communal spaces.
Yeah, that's so good. And when you're saying that, I was reminded, someone told me once, like, it's important to share from our scars, not our open wounds. Yeah. And I think we have such a tendency. I still do it all the time. Like, I'll be reading my Bible and I'm like, oh, I know that my friend so needed to hear this. And God's like, yes, but like, you need, this is for you right now. Like, you know, why do you think we run into that tendency? Cause I don't think it's like a, at least in myself, or maybe it is, I don't think it's this like pride and like a, I want to know everything. It's just, it feels like we so easily are like, I just learned this. Now I got to share it. What do you think that is?
I think we get excited because it's for us, and because we are trained in our culture to speak everything publicly immediately. I think that for some things you can share immediately. There are times that I'll come across something in scripture and my staff will hear about it that week. I'll be like, guys, I just came across.
Totally.
But I think that when it's inner work, and I think that I want to speak about solitude, time with Jesus in the Word, with authority, not with just the excitement about it, you know? So once it's been established in my heart and it's something that's foundational to my leadership, then now I'm able to share it. But it's been years in the making for me, right?
Right. Yeah, that's so good. Authority, not excitement. I love that. That's really good. So how did you see it in yourself that you were not just tired, but spiritually burned out? Because there's... Yeah. A difference, right? Yeah.
So for me, 2018, our church was planting a new, we had a new church plant coming through, and that was really exciting for us. Mm-hmm. I was speaking in so many places and spaces, and I was saying yes to essentially everything. And I'm leading in my church. I'm leading small groups in my church. I'm speaking regularly on Sundays. There's a lot going on. I also co-founded Brave Global. So some of my energy is going there as well. I think it's the problem was that I saw myself as a means to an end for God, is that I thought God needs me to say yes to these things. And honestly, Whitney, like I check off boxes. I do check off boxes for people. I'm a Latina and I'm a woman.
Yeah.
So people are like, oh, we want her on our stage because this is already going to help us to diversify our conference or our event. And I felt like, you know what? I don't feel like, I feel like I'm supposed to be somebody who bridges that for our community, for the Latino community, to be a voice that is speaking the gospel through the lens, the color, the flavor, the culture, the history, and the beauty of everything God has done in my family storyline. So I kept on saying yes. And I think that's also a symptom of pride and arrogance and, you know, being super driven. And my personality is an extrovert. I love to be around people. So it was easy for me to feed that until that became that I fed something that was not nourishing my soul. So I found myself in this place where I was so tired. I didn't even have fumes, if I could just be honest with you. I had nothing to give. And I don't know that the Lord smiles on burnout. I don't think that God is proud of our burnout. I don't think he applauds it. I think it's our doing. And so I had to repent from that. And and then I had to invite leaders that I respect. Now, I have girlfriends that are my friends that I trust. But I think that when we go through real hard seasons where we need to repent and reroute, reimagine, and shift our existence for the sake of a healthy soul and the kingdom, because this is the work that I'm doing is for the sake of the kingdom as well. I want the longevity in this.
Totally.
So I had to talk to people, not just who I trust, but people I respect. So, you know, the way we're wired in our leadership and in our world that we live in, social media, we always want to look good. We want to look our best. But I had to be in the space where I was willing to lose face. So I had to talk to people I respected and be like, this is where I am. And I called a friend of mine who's been a mentor in my life for years. And I told her, the way I feel right now, I said, is if I never hold another microphone again in my life, I will be happy because I'm so tired. Wow. So I had to go through this time of not speaking, not preaching, like really finding the rhythm to recalibrate my inner world, to find joy in my relationship with the Lord over my opportunities with the Lord. So that has made all the difference. It's changed me. It's shifted me. Now, I've learned through the years that it's natural for us to drift from that kind of alignment to God. So we have to do the work continuously to realign, to spend time with Jesus, you know?
And I
love it. I love spending time with the Lord. And oftentimes I'll approach my time with God and I'll say, Lord, I want to be with you right now. And I want to spend time with you. And I want to spend time in your word. But don't give me any sermons.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
And don't give me a word for my friend or my family member or this church member. Like, I simply want to be with you. And allow your word to speak to me and allow your word to nourish me. And so even the times where I have felt like, oh, this would be a great sermon, I literally will not respond to it because then I'm using my time with Jesus as a means to an end. And I don't want to do that. I want to be with the Lord because being with the Lord is the most incredible thing I could experience here on earth. And whether I'm preaching or ever teaching or doing whatever it is that I'm doing, I want to be with the Lord. I want to be with Jesus. I want to enjoy his presence. I want to sense the Spirit of God in whatever space I invite him to. And I'm passionate about it because it's changed the way I live, how I calendar my life. And it's changed what I give my attention to and what I value.
Wow. Man, you said so many good things. It's so, it is, right? Because it's like, it's so easy to get, I've gotten bitter at God when I've been really busy. But then I'll shame myself because I'm like, no, Lord, like you're giving me all these opportunities and I should be so thankful. But it's that I feel like I'm doing for him because I'm not, even when I am with him, it's like I feel like it's because he wants to fill me to then be for others again. Yeah. So it never, I was never in that space of feeling like you want to know me and see me and love me. It was more of like a, you want to fill me because you're going to use me again. Yeah. And at times I'm just like, I think every believer goes through that. Like, I just don't, I don't want to be used anymore. But it's also, I think, just faulty, I mean, theology. Yeah. Like, because we always say like, God, use me, you know, but it's also like, no, God, know me. Like, I want to know you and I want you to know me. Because it's so, like, that's so much more important than me killing it at a worship set, or right, and where everybody else, you know, their chains come off and they are broken, but I'm standing up there, you know, dying because I feel like I'm so under this pressure of my own chains and my own shame and guilt and all of that. And it's so good, because it's, I think we all function so easily that way.
And we end up leading out of deficit as opposed to overflow. My coach and spiritual mentor, Alicia Bricholi, said that once. We ought to look at ourselves more, not as like a piping system where like liquid or waters flow through, but more so as a dam, where out of the overflow of your life, God doesn't want you to be on deficit. Like, I wouldn't want my friends to do the work that they do empty or feeling exhausted or drained. Like, I wouldn't want that for a friend. I wouldn't want that for my sons.
Right.
I wouldn't want that for my husband. I wouldn't want that for anybody who's doing anything in life. So I think that the Holy Spirit's inviting us to lead out of the overflow in our lives. And it's not about doing less. It's about allowing ourselves to be filled with the Lord, you know, to be filled with the presence of God, to be filled with His joy. If we're filled with His joy, then the outcomes of situations are not the reward. Because we're filled with His peace and His joy. And we are content with who we are in Christ, then the outcomes are just simply outcomes, results. Like, God, you know, He decides what that looks like.
Wow. That's, that's so good. The outcomes are just the outcomes. Because then if the outcome isn't good, then it's like we question everything, or we like question ourselves, our competency, our, you know, God, did you really send me to do this? And then we get caught up in that whole thought process and cycle. That's so good. Can you talk to the person? So it's like, it almost feels like it could seem like polar opposites of like when you feel burned out, but then doing the work of getting back to a place of being full. Like, how did you find, because I've been in seasons of burnout and I don't even want to read my Bible, you know, because but I know that I'm approaching it as I have to do this, rather than like, I get to be with my Father. But when it comes to these spiritual principles, it's almost like, I don't even want to do the work
because
I'm so tired.
Well, because what is supposed to be refreshing and refueling to you, the doing it the way where it leads to burnout, turns into a task. So you know that you are in a space of lacking health in your soul. When what is the nourishing feels like work. It's like, think about the unhealthy, you know about health foods, right? So when I'm eating a bunch of crappy foods and my body feels crappy, the last thing I want to go do is research on all the vegetables I'm supposed to be eating. Like, I'm just like, I'm so depleted physically that all I want is some ice cream.
Right.
As opposed to actually, once you have put into practice the healthy foods you eat, you crave that. You crave the feeling you get from the healthy things you eat, right? So you begin these practices. And like I said, eliminating, there have been seasons where I feel so tired that I will go into, I like to sit in the front on the steps of my patio. And so I'll step outside of my house and I'll sit on the steps in the crack of dawn morning, and I will leave my phone and my Bible in the house because I'm not there to work and I'm not there to be distracted by anything. And I'll simply sit there and I'll sing. I'll sing to the Lord. I'll talk to the Lord. I'll sit in silence with the Lord. And so we don't realize that the work that we need to do is going to be the most healing that it's going to offer.
But
the thing is that we've associated spiritual practices with work.
Sure. Cause when I'm tired, I'm like, no, I'm just going to watch Netflix. You know, if I sit still, I'm just going to fall asleep.
And so here's what happens. I understand that too, because for me, in that season of my burnout, my husband practically had to peel me off the sofa because I just wanted to lay down and I would watch reruns of stuff because I thought I could fall asleep through it and I won't miss the narrative. So I would just be like, I'm checking out. And ultimately, there was nothing that was restorative to my soul in that space. Yeah. And my soul was screaming for help. And so sometimes it means that you can drag yourself into the space where you're simply with God. And sometimes it means you sleep, Whitney, sleep, like just fall asleep in the presence of God. Talk to God until you fall asleep. I had a friend once tell me, I feel so guilty because when I try to pray at night, I end up falling asleep. And I'm like, why would you feel guilty? Like I said, when my boys come after work or school, and if they lay on the sofa where I'm watching TV and we're talking, and then I start to feel the weight of their body because their head will fall asleep on my lap. When I feel that, I'm not annoyed that they're not talking to me anymore.
Totally.
It gives me joy that they're in like this deep sleep. They knocked out. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So the Lord delights over your rest. So like if you are talking to Jesus and you feel like falling asleep, fall asleep because I see him playing with your hair while you fall asleep, you know?
Totally.
And he's like, get that rest, girl. So
get that rest. So, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. That's really good. Yeah. It's such a good reminder. Cause it is, it's like the, it's not the doing for him all the time. It's a get, like you're saying, it's the being with him and yeah, that's really good for those who, I mean, like yourself. So like you were in such a busy season. What does a practical kind of a spiritual discipline life look like, right? Because it's like you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a pastor, you're an entrepreneur, like you're doing all of these things.
Yeah.
Because I know it's a big conversation right now of like these spiritual disciplines, but it feels like some of it is like, hey, go and have a 1 month retreat and then you're going to come home, you know, ready to go. And I know that's not what you do.
Yeah.
But it almost doesn't feel practical to the single mom or, to, you know what I mean? To the person who has to work three jobs in this economy, you know, all of those kinds of things.
I mean, there's grace for that, but there's a reason why scripture talks to us about Sabbath. So the way I do it is I will look at my entire calendar and I'll schedule my day off every week. I schedule a day off every single week. And literally on that day, I, you know, disconnect my phone. I'll turn things off so that I can do whatever I feel like doing. Do the fun things. Listen, everybody's busy and they have multiple jobs, but everybody has room for fun. You can't tell me that people are not having fun. So having fun is good on your Sabbath, but you have to schedule a full day of rest. Like don't halfway it like, oh, I'm going to answer emails and then I'm going to go have fun. No, you know what? Shut it down. Because if you have to, you could answer that actually tomorrow and it's going to be fine. So there are things that it's taken me time to look at my calendar differently and to value rest and Sabbath because the world that we live in is constantly pushing us, enticing us to be people who produce, make more, make more. And so I feel like my Sabbath is a rage against the machine.
I love
that. I'll be like, you're not going to own me. I'm going to take a day to rest, to sleep, to watch TV if I want, to go for a hike, to go watch a movie with my husband, to cook dinner with him, do the things that I enjoy. And I'm not going to do it rushed. And I'm going to be fully present to myself, to my family, and not apologize for it. But that's taken, I mean, for all the things that are going on in my life, it takes a lot of discipline. I've borderline become a, I've borderline become a Pharisee with my Sabbath, like, like hardcore, like Josh will tell you, like, it's on our family calendar. It's on our family calendar.
I love
it. It's my rest day and it has a little dancing emoji girl. And it's like, like don't mess.
Rage against the machine.
I won't let the world dictate the narrative for my life at the cost of my health. The cost of my health.
Yes, that is so good because I think we all learn those lessons once our health is at the cost. And so then it's like, okay, it's time. I love that. That's so good. That's really good. And so then, I mean, in your leadership, how have you, you were saying like, you've just noticed like, how have you been able to show up differently now that it's not like produce, meet everyone else's needs, you know?
Yeah, I think that it's helped them also to understand that they are not superheroes. that they're human beings. And so, you know, I'll have outside of our staff day times, I'll want to meet with sometimes our leaders, and they'll be like, oh, I actually had scheduled my Sabbath for that day. And I'll be like, don't touch it. Like, I'm not going to sit here and put like, I'm your leader, demand, cancel what you're doing, come be with me. I'll be like, totally. Honor that space. Let's move it to another date that works for both of us. And so respecting that for them, because honestly, they've walked through a journey of transformation in me. They've been around long enough to see crazy, crazy Pastor Noemi, mad, crazy amounts of energy. And they've seen me transition to this place of like, I'm anchored, I'm more balanced, I have more peace. And I actually get more done, which is interesting. I get more done. I have more, like my calendar right now is more full than it was in 2018 when I went through burnout. But I've added rest. I've added working out. I've added cleaner eating. Like, I've added all these things. So when I show up, I'm able to be more creative, because creativity comes out of joy. You know that. So if there's rest in your life and there's joy when you come into spaces to ideate, you have the clarity of mind for ideation, but then you have the physical energy to execute as well. So it's something that I've modeled for the last couple of years before I even started to share with them what was happening. You know, but I had I had a cloud of witnesses. And you know what? They stuck around long enough to see that. And I want to encourage young leaders to like have those hard conversations with the people that are leading you. Like, let's, and for leaders, like, let's remain confrontable, and let's remain in the place where we can repent and reroute and lead people in a better way. Because honestly, in this season, my commitment is to lead my church to the green pastures, to the things that are restorative to their soul, so that they're able to be a beautiful witness in the world of the kingdom, with joy and peace in their lives, and to be fully present to their workspace and their ministry spaces as well.
Wow. That's just so beautiful. I love that. And thank you for being a leader who was willing to like let your people see you go through that process. Cause it's humbling. It's maybe a little humiliating in some areas, right? Like it's 100%. Very exposing. And
listen, I'm so glad social media was not a thing when we first started pastoring. Cause if people were to post the stuff I was saying, Lord Jesus, like I would cancel myself, you know, but
my God.
Hey, listen, I'm not even about that cancel culture. I'm about the confronting culture.
Totally.
The walk with people long enough to see them look more like Jesus as they're leading you. I want to look more like the Savior. And I know that I feel closer to Jesus now than I did in the initial years of church planting and, and leading in the community. And I've got so much more work to do, because I'm so naturally driven, Whitney. I am so naturally like passionate and like ambitious, but I, I'm so glad that God put like this internal break inside of me, and I could see the red flags whenever I could feel it in my body. I could sense it. And I'm like, okay, God, you've got my attention. Let's reroute again. Let's get back to you. I love what Rich Viotta says in one of his books. He says, 1,000 distractions are 1,000 invitations. So sometimes when we spend time with God, we're like, it's just that my mind wanders and I get distracted by this and distracted by that. No guilt. Don't feel guilty about being distracted. Don't underestimate your spirituality because you're distracted. Every one of those distractions are an invitation that God is saying, come back. Come back. Redirect your attention to me again. And it's beautiful.
That is. Wow. Thank you so much. That's really great. And I think just the openness and humility for the, you know, the people under you and just in your community, that's such a, because it would be so easy to just like go on that journey by yourself and not let anybody know and just be like, this is my private life. You know, my life is private from my ministry and all of that kind of stuff. But thank you for just your willingness for people to be able to walk through that with you. Cause it is, you're helping so many people and your leaders. And, just cause of this hustle culture, it can be exhausting. Thank you so much. If there was just like one thing you would share with someone who maybe is like, maybe they're feeling spiritually burned out or physically, mentally, emotionally? Like, what's just one little nugget of wisdom you would give them?
Yeah. Man, I would simply say you are so loved by God. You're loved by God outside of what you can do for him. And he desires so much to fill your heart, fill your mind.
Yeah.
He's a healing God. He's a patient God. And he's not like on this trajectory of an agenda for your life that requires you to be in like, oh, he needs me to be fully all in. No, he needs you to be fully present to him, and that he needs you to allow him to be fully present to you. You are not a means to an end, and neither is God. He's not, people will use God as a means to an end. Oh, God, I'm going to do this for your kingdom. And it's because we actually want platform and we want more influence. God is interested in having a loving relationship with you. And whatever flows out of that, whether it be much or little, it needs to flow out of that mutual love. And that could then impact the world in different ways. But first, allow yourself to lean into that beloved space with the Savior, because, listen, nothing else will satisfy your soul. Not the opportunities, not the stages, not the job opportunities, not the promotions. Yeah. We are eternal beings who need eternal satisfaction that could only come from the Spirit of God in our lives.
Wow. Amen. That's so good. So good. Thank you so much for taking time to share. And you just have so much wisdom. And I've always wanted to pick your brain, just because every time I see you posting and speaking, I'm like, oh, she's so wise. I love it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I love you. And I'm grateful for your leadership and your voice in this season and the future. You are a gem.
Oh, thank you.
Like what you hear so far? Click the subscribe button and give me a rating and review. And let's keep this conversation going. You can find me on social media at Whitney Wood Music. You can find any of my latest singles out anywhere that you stream or purchase music under Whitney Wood, as well as my latest passion project. It's a kids EP called BB and Bubba. I'll have the links below so you can find them. Have a great week, everybody.